Hi, everyone. My name is Josh Nason, writer, editor, and podcaster for WrestlingObserver.com. This is an edition of Josh Nason's Punch-Out Classic, JNPO Classic, here on the website, and all kinds of stuff going on. Recording this intro as of Sunday, March 4th, and we're just past a pretty fun UFC 222 event, some interesting results. Brian Ortega, my God, what a performance that guy had. Chris Cyborg winning, Sean O'Malley winning, Mackenzie Dern winning, you know, some very interesting results up and down the card. We'll talk about that more in full later this week on a regular edition of JNPO. However, we used to do these classics, and I still have a lot to go through, and I completely just kind of put them off in the back burner. However, I want to bring them up to the front burner and get these going here so you guys have something to listen to if you're interested in retro content. So let me pull up the list for this one. This is all about, where are we going here? This goes back to September 29th, 2011. And joining us was a guy that would later set history, and I think we set him off on the right path here. Demetrius Johnson, the current UFC flyweight champion. And at this point in his career, he was preparing, he wasn't even a flyweight at this time. The division didn't even exist. He was preparing for a bantamweight title fight against Dominic Cruz on UFC on Versus. And this was an interview that really kind of illustrates what people's lackadaisical attitude towards Johnson was and kind of developed over the years. These were like 5-second answers that he gave in nearly all this stuff. And afterwards, I remember you hear me say in the interview, like, oh, it was so great, so fun. I listen to this now. I'm like, God, he was just so boring. He didn't really say anything. The best thing was when he started talking about video games at the end. He kind of started doing like sound effects and weird type of stuff. So, you know, kind of keep that in mind here, that this was a guy that back before he was a champion, and I think he actually mentioned this during the interview, he was kind of trained to just do boring answers. And unfortunately, they didn't really tend to do him any favors throughout his career. You know, in the cage, great. Outside the cage, you know, much maligned for not being a pay-per-view draw and blah, blah, blah. But you kind of see where that started, God, almost 7 years ago. This is pretty interesting stuff. So let's see. So this was a, you know, decent interview. I kind of call it a vanilla interview. So you guys listen to it and, you know, make of it what you will. We also talked about UFC, I think it was 135, John Jones defeating Rampage Jackson in Denver, Colorado. And up next for him is going to be Rashad Evans. We talked about that. UFC was talking about holding two events in one day, something they've done a few times throughout the years. And we talked about that and some of the, you know, what could it look like? Could they go like WrestleMania 2 style back and forth to different venues? Clearly that was not going to happen, but we were excited about that opportunity. We've got very curious about the logistics and all that good stuff as well. I was incorrect in saying that the Johnson Cruz fight was the first title fight on live TV. And let's see. I think that's about it. So we'll let you kind of get into this. Let's see. One other thing about the Denver thing I completely forgot about. The show had a lot of heavyweight fights on it, and all the heavyweights did not do well with the altitude. I remember that being a big thing after the fact. And, you know, thinking ahead, like, when you plan out these shows, don't do that. And some of the things you would learn, actually wouldn't learn, you know, later in life. Sea level Kane, you guys remember that? So let's get to it. The September 29th, 2011 edition of the WGAM MMA show. If this is your first time listening, by the way, to this, the retro shows, I used to host a show on ESPN New Hampshire way back in the day and found some archives and wanted to put them up on the site and kind of going through one by one here. So yeah, let's get to it with the WGAM MMA show from September 29th, 2011. Yours truly, co-host PJ Hewitt and the one and only Demetrius Johnson.
You're at the starting line of another hour of New Hampshire's best sports on WGAM, The Game.
Survived a rampage. UFC doubleheaders are on the way. We talked to a mighty mouse that wants to be UFC bantamweight champion. It's Thursday, September 29th, and the Red Sox Suck edition of the WGAM MMA show
oh, God.
Is live.
Rub it in some more, why don't you?
It's live. Josh Nason, PJ Hewitt here with you Thursday night, downtown Nashville, New Hampshire, the WGAM studios. PJ, what's up, buddy?
Still trying to heal from last night.
Man,
it was not very fun last night.
And you, dear listeners at home, some of you may not be listening to this that are in Boston, but hopefully you know what happened with the Red Sox historic collapse, and we will not bore you too much with details because obviously you can get that 1,000 other places. However, it really, really blows that the Red Sox lost a John Jones, a kick, a Anderson Silva, Steven Seagal style kick to the face we got last night.
Yeah, it really hurts. And to, like we were just talking about right before we went on the air, too, about how if you couldn't have scripted it worse for the Red Sox last night, where the Rays are losing 7-0 in the eighth inning to the Yankees. They come back, tie the game, send it to extra innings. The Red Sox are up one in the ninth inning. They're a strike away from winning to at least, you know, get to the playoffs or force a playoff to get into the playoffs. And within 3 minutes, Jonathan Papelbon lets up three hits. Red Sox lose. And then Evan Longoria hits a game-winning home run. And then the Red Sox season is over. And as Don Orsillo and Jerry Remy put it last night, we'll see you in Fort Myers. And that was just that was, I think, almost worse than the actual loss itself, was just hearing that phrase. We'll see you in Fort Myers next February. Ugh. So I'm glad to I'm glad we get to talk something else besides Red Sox. This is the only thing anybody's been talking about all day today.
Well, good. Glad to help. Hopefully we're helping you some therapy at home listening to us. We're live tonight, so you can tweet us at WGAM_MMA if you have questions. We're also on Facebook. Search for WGAM MMA. Tweet us and Facebook us questions. We'll see if we can answer them tonight. We have a packed show. We're going to talk all about last Saturday night, UFC 135 with Rampage versus Jones. We'll talk about this Saturday night, UFC on versus Live historic fight. And in our second segment, we'll be joined by the man that will challenge for the UFC Bantamweight Championship, Demetrius Mighty Mouse Johnson. We'll talk with him for a while about everything, his career, the big fight. It's the biggest fight of his career coming up this Saturday. We'll also talk Ultimate Fighter, and we also talk about this UFC doubleheader thing that I alluded to in the open. PJ, let's start with last Saturday night. Rampage Jackson, UFC light heavyweight champion Johnny Bones Jones, UFC 135, Denver, Colorado. John Bones Jones, as we talked about, is a dominant force. He proved it on Saturday, defeating Rampage Jackson by fourth round submission. I thought pretty well dominated Jackson throughout the entire fight. Didn't hurt him. Like, his face wasn't a bloody mess. He did have a pretty significant cut over his left eye. I believe they got some stitches. If I remember, he was really swollen up. Rampage hung in there, but could not get inside Jones's reach. And that Jones just picked him up from afar, did everything he needed to do, got one of those spinning back elbows, and ended up in the fourth round just being able to get Rampage's back on the ground, submitting him, and the man is the champion.
Yeah, and he continues to look more and more impressive. Maybe didn't finish him as quickly as he wanted to, but then Rampage, again, is a very experienced fighter. And I thought, for the most part, Rampage hung in there well and had his timing down pretty well, and Jones really didn't connect with him flush, but was able just to kind of outlast him and outfight him. You mentioned that spinning back elbow that in the post-fight press conference, Rampage said, I knew it was coming, I trained for that, and he didn't get me, he didn't really connect with me flush with it, but it you know, it, I still felt it. You know, it did, you know, so a very impressive performance, I think, by John Jones to maybe kind of quiet some of these guys. Are like, all right, well, now this is going to be your big test with Rampage Jackson, a guy who's been in there. Rampage himself before the fight was kind of downplaying John Jones a little bit, saying, you know, this, you know, but yeah, good fight for John Jones. And now bring on Rashad Evans for him.
Yeah. So you look at this series of three fights, Shogun Hua destroyed him, Rampage Jackson beat him up, and now he's got Rashad Evans. So three very tough dudes in the UFC light heavyweight division. It looks like that fight between Jones and Evans will probably be off for a while because Jones has, I believe, has a broken foot. I'm blanking. He's got a broken something. It's either a broken hand or a foot, but he's going to be out.
So they're pushing that off till next year.
Yeah, I believe that without a doctor's clearance, he'd be out for, was it 6 months? Sorry, folks. I'm completely blanking. He's going to be out for a while. You're not going to see that title fight till probably, my guess, my guess is, depending on how things play out,
February, March, maybe.
They always like to do a big Super Bowl weekend show.
Yep.
But again, that fight's going to be huge anyway, so they could do it March, April. So definitely, it's probably closer to spring of next year, but earliest would be pretty good, would be Super Bowl weekend. So that was a big result. The co-main event of that fight, Matt Hughes, Josh Koscheck. Fight made on short notice because Josh Koscheck was filling in for an injured Diego Sanchez. Matt Hughes went into this on Friday at the weigh-ins, looked small. I thought. Looked a little leaner than he has. Usually a pretty thick 170. He looked like a normal dude, and that may have not been a good sign. Koscheck pretty much dominated him, standing up throughout the first 5 minutes, essentially knocking Hughes out or being by TKO within the waning seconds of the round. So Josh Koscheck victorious in his first action in almost a year. Looking good at 170 pounds, again, depending on what you think of what stage Matt Hughes is in his career. Essentially, the talk after the fight was at Hughes, and even Hughes said it. Not really saying the word retirement, but it's pretty much done.
Yeah, not just the talk after the fight, too. Joe Rogan and Goldie were talking about it, you know, during the fight itself, that this could be his last fight, and now that's his second loss in a row, and, you know, to BJ Penn and now to Josh Koscheck, it really looks like he doesn't have too much left. You know, they mentioned that he likes to take fights that would challenge him. He's not necessarily looking for to be in the title contention at 170, but it might be the end of the run for Matt Hughes. You know, you'd like to have him go out on a win, but as we see with like guys like Randy Couture
and
Chuck Liddell, it's not always the case. And some of these guys that have been fighting for a really, really long time.
Yeah, and just kind of put it into perspective, you know, Matt Hughes started fighting back in January 1st, appropriately, 1998. Has been fighting in the UFC for, oh my God, how long? Since UFC 34. I mean, we're at UFC 135 this past weekend. He's at the UFC 34.
So over the course of 100 UFCs.
Yeah. And actually, sorry, he's actually gone way back as UFC 122. So it was one of those deals where, you know, he fought in other organizations and all this. So he's been fighting in the UFC for a long time. Multiple-time welterweight champion, fought the championship, defended the championship.
He's one of the best welterweights of all time.
And he's a Hall of Famer. There's nothing else for him to prove. He's still got a family, obviously, and you know his family. He's kind of alluded to that they want that.
Joe Rogan mentioned it about 15 times during the fight that his wife, because he had a sit down interview with him and before the fight, and said that, you know, his wife was trying to pressure him to retire a little bit, and this fight might have done it for him, and Koscheck looked impressive. It was a good bounce-back fight for him after a long layoff from his loss to GSP, and he puts himself right back in contention now, and will take on, I would say, someone probably significant. And
I would say so. He wants to fight at that Montreal show in December. He wants to fight in the San Jose show in November. So he wants to fight one more time.
He alluded to it, kind of like gave Dana White the big eyes at the post fight press conference, that he said he's ready. He didn't take any damage, obviously, so he should be good to go for that fight if they want to put him there.
Yeah, so that 170 gets a very interesting place again with Josh Koscheck back in the mix. Going over the rest of the results from 135, our MMA show guest last week, Travis Brown, was victorious, so our streak resumes. However, the fight was not probably as exciting as it could be. I think probably Travis would admit that. Travis Brown being a Rob Broughton by unanimous decision. This was two heavyweight fights on the main card that, you know, stupid me, I didn't even think of this going in. I was talking this before, is the altitude in Denver and what role it would take on big men. Travis Brown, I think, showed it. I think Rob Broughton showed it in that fight. And he definitely saw it in Mark Hunt versus Ben Rothwell. Mark Hunt, who I don't think anyone really gave a chance to, defeated Ben Rothwell by unanimous decision as well.
Rothwell was I don't think I've ever seen a fighter more gassed out than Ben Rothwell was at the end of
the fight. The only time I have is when Matt Mitrione was on The Ultimate Fighter, speaking of The Ultimate Fighter, and he was one of those fights on the show, and it was basically like his arms were down by his side. He was like leaning over, you know?
Yeah.
But
you could almost excuse that, though, because these are guys that Mitrione didn't even have a professional fight.
Very
at that point, you know, Rothwell's a guy who's been there for a while, but yeah, you know, to see him, it just progressively get, you know, both guys get slower and slower and slower. And I thought the first round, actually, he pressed the fight fairly well and had some, and it looked like his conditioning was going to hold up. But after that first round, it was completely downhill from there. And by the end of that fight, it looked like neither one of those guys could stand up.
Yeah. Rothwell
wanted to stand up.
Rothwell is all bloodied up, and Hunt actually got a takedown. He's not really known for that. So his little run, the UFC continues. I would say for any heavyweight these days, you know, you have to, if you're going to fight in a high altitude place, you have to train there for a long
time. Travis Brown trains in Albuquerque, which is a high altitude, but
very interesting. And so does obviously John Jones, but John, and we'll point that out, John Jones had no effects. Rampage actually lived and trained in Denver for this fight. So
yeah, and only had to cut 6 pounds before that fight, which is, I think, the least amount of weight he's ever had to cut before a fight.
Yeah, he looked in great shape.
Yeah.
Yeah, if going back to that, we'll be interesting to see who he fights next. In the opener of the night, Nate Diaz.
Oh, he looked good.
Destroying Takanori Gomi.
Yeah.
Takanori Gomi is
never
done.
Had a chance.
Beaten by submission the first round. However, this was all the story of the stand-up. I mean, Nate Diaz was doing anything he wanted to standing up, was holding his hand in front of his face, almost like the Three Stooges, like if you're trying to block an eye poke. At one point, he was like doing that. It was so unusual. So Diaz fought in the UFC again, and he was victorious, that being Nate Diaz, not brother Nick. There really wasn't a lot
on fight he needed too.
Yeah, there really wasn't a lot on the undercard that is of note. You know, Tony Ferguson, the former Ultimate Fighter winner, defeating Aaron Riley, first round TKO, basically broke Riley's jaw. So good UFC regular show debut for Ferguson. Nothing else here really of note, but I'd say overall the card was a thumbs in the middle. I thought the main event was entertaining. The show had its spots, but nothing that was blow away, like came away with, like, you got to see this stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah. John Jones, things to note, John Jones makes it to the championship rounds for the first time in his career.
Right.
And then just the impressive performances of both Koscheck and Diaz, I think, especially Diaz was a guy who was coming into that fight on a 2-fight losing streak. He needed a win and needed an impressive win, and he got it. Josh Koscheck looked like the Koscheck before he fought GSP. Like, he looked like he stepped right back into that role. So I think those are the couple of things to pick out of this card from last weekend.
So Demetrius Johnson coming up in our next break before, obviously, we get a little bit of time before we get to that. Before we get to the preview of Cruz versus Johnson, I did want to bring up the story. Lutu in the open again, the UFC doubleheader. So Dana White this week was doing a press conference for the upcoming event in San Jose, the one as headlined now by the returning Dan Henderson versus Mauricio Shogun Hua, the aforementioned one himself. And he was asked about the Japan show and just kind of some business stuff in general. And he mentioned that, there's this fight in Japan, event in Japan, UFC returning there for the first time in God knows how long, next February. And he mentioned that they're also going to do an event in Vegas on the same night. So you might be thinking to yourself, how is that going to happen? They're having two events concurrently at the same time. And they asked Dan about that. How are we going to do this? And he smiled and he said, you'll see. So people were intrigued as far as what that means. And we still don't really know.
Well, so now my first thought is, you're going to have two crews calling the fight. So I don't assume they'll split up Goldberg and Rogan.
You're right.
So they're going to have another crew out there.
Yeah, I didn't even think of that. That's a great observation.
So that's my quick thought. And my second thought is, I'm going to assume they're going to bounce back and forth if they can make the timing right. We were talking a little bit before we went on the air tonight about, when they broadcast these, and the Australia show local time was at 10 a.m. on a Sunday.
Yep.
So they could broadcast prime time in the United States.
Yep.
So would they try to do that again in Japan and just kind of like bounce? So there's a fight in San Jose and then there's a fight in Japan. Like, it's going to be early in the morning in Japan. So
simulcasting on pay-per-view is not unusual, right? Think back even the early days of, people are going to cringe when I say this, WrestleMania 2, which went from three different locations, Chicago, New York, and Los Angeles. Recent boxing events seem to have been doing this more often. The Floyd Mayweather fight against Victor Ortiz. They did fights, I believe, in California and Las Vegas on that same night, which they did this whole simulcast and go back and forth thing. So with today's technology, it's easy to do. I'm thinking more fight-wise in terms of your depth of your card and your talent. And obviously there's no fights announced for this far out in February. But I already have a little bit of an issue the way that I think that UFC cards are a little thin now because of all these events. And I love MMA, but I think there's too many. And I'd much rather see one show instead of two, if that means that the show top to bottom is going to be a little bit more stacked, right? And I realize that in the long run, that means that some of the lower end guys are probably going to cut, but they'll find other places to fight. And I don't think that they're going to be world beaters in terms of like going somewhere else and then the UFC loses a big star. I think that if you have two cards, especially on the same, two cards in 2 weeks sometimes is bad enough. You have two cards on the same night. Isn't each audience then potentially getting a lesser show than if you just combine them and just did them separate times? You know what I mean?
Right. And the tentative card right now in San Jose, besides Shogun Henderson, Wanderlei Silva and Kung Lee is the co-main event. Uriah Faber versus Brian Bowles will be on that. Martin Kampman versus a friend of the show, Rick Story. And then Stefan Bonner versus up-and-comer Kyle Kingsbury is the main card. Ryan Bader relegated to the prelims. Also in that card, Tom Lawler as well, and Rafael Dos Anjos.
Yeah, so, that card, as you say that, is actually looking really good. That's mid-November, and that's coming after this long string of events. So honestly, I mean, we want to think of like competition, and we want to think of...
They'd throw some of the Japanese guys they have on the roster out in that show in Japan.
Yeah, but again, that's out in February. So, I mean, who's the Japanese guys have... Takanori Gombe just got destroyed. You know, they have to... They'd want to do that, but there's this also this thing of you got to get guys that are actually good because you can't just put a crap product out there, right? So, I don't know. How much time we got left? Do we have to go to break? Are we good?
We got some time.
We got some time?
Yeah, you want to preview this weekend?
Yeah, let's talk about this weekend. So, Saturday night, we will allude to, we will talk to Demetrius Johnson, who will be in the main event this Saturday against the bantamweight champion Dominic Cruz, and there's a historic reason that Demetrius Johnson is on the show tonight. We'll talk about that in our next break. But fun headline fight, the first time a UFC title fight has ever been on free TV. And I think this is a trend you'll start to see. Obviously, we're going to see it in November with the heavyweight championship. Dominic Cruz is pretty awesome. I will tell you that right now. He is 18-1. He has been on a streak. His last defeat, or his only defeat, was against Uriah Faber way back in March 2007. He has simply destroyed everyone he's gone up against. He took apart Brian Bowles to win the title back. This is in the WEC days back in March of last year. Beat up Joseph Benavidez, beat Scott Jorgensen, then beat Uriah Faber again. So he is he's the real deal, and he is very quick. He's very fast on his feet. He has a striking style which gives opponents fits. And that fight against Faber this past July was awesome. I thought it was a great fight from both guys, but especially Cruz. Dominic Cruz, I think, is going to be a champion for a long time at 135. We'll see what happens with Johnson this weekend, but Dominic Cruz is pretty damn good.
Yeah, he is. He doesn't probably finish fighters as much as he'd like a champion to do, but then again, how many fighters has George St. Pierre finished in the last few fights that he's had as champion? But he's very impressive, and he's a guy maybe a lot of people don't know because of his weight class, but this is a great way to introduce a lot of the bantamweights and some of these guys that maybe the sideline UFC guy or
the
UFC
casual fans
yeah, might not necessarily know. So, and like we mentioned, the first ever championship fight of the UFC on free TV. So it'll be interesting this weekend.
Yeah, there's actually a few interesting fights on this card. There's Cruz versus Johnson, Pat Barry versus Stefan Struve, which is a must-win fight for either man. Anthony Johnson, speaking of 170-pounders, we'll see what weight he comes in at. Seems to always be, I think he walks around at well over 200 and has to make this massive cut down to 170. He takes on Charlie Brenneman. He defeated, as the aforementioned friend of the show, Rick Story. How dare he? And then Matt Wyman versus Mac Danzig. And I believe that is a rematch of a fight, of a disputed fight between the two that happened earlier this year. So that should be pretty fun. And the undercard.
Yeah, where Matt Wyman got the win.
Did he get the win in that fight?
Yeah.
He did. Was it a decision victory?
No, it was. He got submitted. Oh. A controversial stoppage is the side note to that fight.
During the break, I'll have to look that. There's a reason I remember that fight, and I can't remember why. Let's see. Went to six fights on Facebook, so all kinds of stuff going
on. Was that one of the ones where he didn't tap out, but it was called a tap out?
Maybe that was it.
Yeah.
I really have to look this up during the break.
I think that's what it was.
There was a reason I saw that, and I was really interested in it. See, Eze Edwards, Rafael Oliveira. So we'll talk actually more about this card in a little bit. Pat Barry versus Stefan Struve, two big guys slugging it out. Both guys need a win very desperately.
Yeah, Pat Barry, of course, had that almost knockout of Czech Congo before Czech Congo miraculously stood up and ended up knocking him out. Where the fight was this close to being stopped, and then Czech Congo ends up getting the win over Pat Barry there. So, yeah. And then Stefan Struve, who's a guy I like, who I wish was a little bit better than he actually is, because he's a big guy, very, very tall. I'd like to see him put on a little bit more muscle, I think, and because he doesn't fight at the top of the weight class. I think he fights like closer to 245, and if he put I think a little bit more muscle and was a little bit stronger, he'd have a better chance. But yeah, he's one of those guys too that looks good and then looks real bad. So you mentioned it and you said it. Both guys need this fight pretty bad.
So speaking of guys that look really good, our next guest coming up the next segment, Demetrius Mighty Mouse Johnson, the challenger for the UFC Bantamweight Championship, will be on live next. This is the WGAM MMA show on New Hampshire's ESPN Radio, WGAM, the game. WGAM MMA show is back, and PJ, I'm pretty psyched right now because we have a historic guest.
Okay. Historic guest, yes. Oh, for us, you mean?
For us, yes, yes, exactly. I don't know for him, but for us. This is our first guest we've had on the show that is going for a major UFC title in his next fight. And we're happy to have on the line right now the man that this Saturday night on Versus in the first ever free TV UFC championship fight in history. He will battle champion Dominic Cruz. We have Demetrius Johnson on the line. Demetrius, what's going on?
How's it going, guys? I'm doing good.
You got, you're gonna have a lot of eyes on you this Saturday night. Again, the free before Fox gets the deal, you guys free on Versus this Saturday and a chance to introduce the bantamweights and especially yourself to a much larger audience.
Well, yeah, definitely. You know, I'm looking forward to it, and I feel good, and I do want to get in there.
So tonight, I mean, as we talk tonight, I'm sure you've done a few of these interviews today and you've been doing press conferences. And I mean, this is your first big time main event. What's it been like this week being the one of the centers of attention?
Oh, it's been awesome, man. You know, me and Dominic, we're getting a lot of exposure, and it's getting, you know, I've gained a lot of fans through Twitter, and I just can't wait to get out there and do my thing.
So do you remember where you first were when you got the call that you were going to get a UFC title shot?
I was excited, you know, and I just took it just like any other fight. It was a great opportunity for me to step up and take on Dominic Cruz. But, you know, I make sure I keep my emotions in check and just train hard for the fight.
Well, let's talk about how you got here, at least most recently. Your highest profile fight to date, fighting against Miguel Torres, UFC 130, and a lot of people, you know, as you know, didn't give you a shot going in that fight. Maybe they fell in love with the bigger name of Torres, but you went in there, did your thing, and you came out with decision victory, giving you this title shot. I mean, it must have felt pretty good. I mean, again, you were in there against someone that people knew a lot better than you, but a lot more people know you now coming after that fight.
Oh, yeah, definitely, man. I'm always underdog, and I'm always pushing hard, and it doesn't matter if, you know, nobody believes in me, but I believe in myself, and I believe in my coaches, and I always go out there and perform and fight with all my heart and try to come out with a victory, and when I fought Miguel Torres, and that's what happened.
Now, during your fight with Torres, he threw a leg kick, which you checked, and it ended up breaking your fibula. What was it like to finish that fight with a broken leg, and did you know that it happened right away?
Yeah, once I kicked him, I felt it, and it hurt, and I took a step back, and went crunch, I was like, yep, it's broke. My leg is F. And, you know, I kept on fighting, and it was hard to finish because, you know, your fibula, if you guys read up on it, it's the bone that works all the mechanics of you being on your toes and moving back and forth with being fast. It's your agility bone, and I'm a guy who's always on my toes, so I had to do my best and, you know, go back to my wrestling and do my thing.
Talking with Demetrius Johnson, challenges Dominic Cruz for the UFC Bantamweight Championship this Saturday on Versus. And kind of go back to that, dude, you fought with a broken leg. I mean, that's incredible to the mortal humans like us and others. That's pretty crazy when you take a step back and think about it, right?
Yeah, you know, it is what it is. And like I said, you know, I tore ligaments and dislocated my thumb when I fought that ticket. That didn't stop me, and nobody didn't even know I broke my thumb. I mean, dislocated my thumb and tore ligaments. But I do what I do, and it's my job to get out there and fight and hope to get a win.
So talking about your job, you have a very tough job this Saturday night against a guy in Dominic Cruz who comes to this fight on a hell of a roll. Again, he is the champion, has been looking great. You know, he poses some unique difficulties, especially with his striking. You know, he's kind of that weird, like, jiving style, you know, in and out. And, you know, he gave Uriah Faber fits and other fighters. I mean, how do you even begin to prepare for someone that has that unusual of a stand-up game?
Well, typically from AMC, we have a lot of guys that use a lot of movement when we train and when we fight. So it's not going to be any different. You know, he's very awkward. I give him that. And he's a hungry champion. So it's going to make it difficult to figure out the style. But, you know, my preparation is to go out there and win and to expose Dominic Cruz's weaknesses and, you know, do my thing.
So you've mentioned about Brad Pickett before. That is your only loss to date. You come in this fight in 9-1 mark. You know, not to think too far ahead, but I would assume at some point that'd be a nice one to, I guess you'd want to get back, as they say.
Well, you know, I have no, you know, right now I got Dominic Cruz ahead of me on Saturday, and looking in the future, you know, and me and Brad Pickett cross paths, and, you know, I definitely take, you know, the steps and measure to get a victory over him. But, you know, that victory is hard fought, won by Brad Pickett, and, you know, he deserved that win, and no hard feelings, you know, he got it.
And you said Dominic Cruz was kind of awkward. What are some of the holes in his game that you've seen in your preparation for the fight?
Well, you know, listen, I tune in on Saturday to check that out. I hope I can execute that.
That's a guy that knows how to sell a fight. I like it. I like it. See, I know, see the this first run through all this media stuff, you picked up some things along the way, huh?
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, I have a lot to talk from Matt on how to do media, so I don't sound cocky and humble, and, you know, I'm just a humble guy, and I try to give it nice and short and sweet.
Have you got any unusual questions along the way? Anything that even made you, your preparation, you know, didn't prepare you, I guess, for some unusual stuff?
Oh, yeah, somebody goes, okay, Demetrius Johnson, I'm here with, you know, blah, 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 blah. And let me ask you this. What makes you think you can beat Dominic Cruz? I mean, Joseph could do it. Devon Cooper could do it. So what makes you think you could do it? And I'm like, oh, wow, you just go right for the juggernaut, aren't you? So that was a little awkward, but, you know, I dealt with it, you know, and, you know, the way I thought I should, and I took care of it.
Those media types are all the same, right?
Yep.
Talking with Demetrius Johnson fights Dominic Cruz this Saturday night for the title. And, you know, Washington, D.C., you know, I'm kind of looking over your last few fights. You know, you fought in Las Vegas for your last three fights. Washington, not exactly like Las Vegas, not as much to do. What have you been doing this week to kind of stay loose and you know, get focused on the fight? What type of stuff have you been doing?
You know, just relaxing, and I got my coaches here, and they make me very happy. They make me laugh all the time, and, you know, we sit down and we talk, and we just don't even, you know, do anything. We just relax and enjoy the time we have with each other without just training hard. So it's going good, and we're all doing having fun.
Who gave you the nickname Mighty Mouse?
My coach is Steve Gitz, because I train with a whole bunch of big guys, and it just seemed to fit because I have big ears and short contact structure and all that good stuff.
So one of the things that gets brought up quite frequently with you, you know, even before you got the title shot, was everyone kept saying, you know, he should fight 125 pounds. You, she should do this, you know, 125, yet you're winning fights at 135. Does that ever get kind of old? Like, guys, I'm fighting at 135. I'm ready to fight for a title. Let's stop talking about 125.
I don't want to say it gets old. You know, everybody's always curious about, you know, what's going on in my mind. So right now I'm fighting for the world title at 135, and, you know, 125 is in the future, so I'm getting ready for that.
You know, we're talking again, your career's taking you from Las Vegas to Washington. However, what probably one of the biggest places it's ever taken you, Demetrius, is Alaska, where you were first discovered in going into the WBC. Tell me about fighting in Alaska.
Alaska's cool, man. It's nice and cold up there, and I actually kind of like that. It's a little different from Washington. It's actually snow up there. And, you know, I got a great friend up there, Paul Stockler, who opened his arms and got me into the AFC and got me two fights there. And it was cool, you know. They had a great crowd up there.
So, I mean, fighting in the Pacific Northwest, again, not known in those days as a full hotbed. Obviously now with the, you know, with the, I believe Team Quest is in that area and some of these other schools and such. You know, so you get to 5-0, and so take me through how you got first into the WEC, when you got approached. Was it right that night, or was it a few weeks after? How did that work?
It was a few weeks afterwards. You know, Matt says, all right, baby, we won the big league. We won WEC. You know, Sean Sherman gave me a call, and I told Sean Sherman to take a look at this guy, and he liked, you know, what he saw, and we signed the contract, and, you know, the rest was history.
And speaking of history, you're looking to make it this Saturday night. For people that have never seen you fight before, or maybe never seen Dominic Cruz, or never seen a bantamweight title fight before, how would you tell them? What would you tell them to look forward to in this fight?
Tell them, do not miss it. Don't blink. It's going to be a fantastic fight. Dominic Cruz is training his butt off this fight. I have as well. And, you know, we're going to get after it on Saturday night.
And again, before we let you go, I want to give you a chance to do a little selling. You know, tell any sponsors, Twitter. You mentioned Twitter before, social media. How do people connect with you and your sponsors?
Yeah, you guys can follow me on Twitter. It's Mighty Mouse UFC. And on my Facebook, it's Mighty Mouse UFC or Demetrius Johnson. And I want to give a huge shout-out to Xbox 360 for getting behind me. And UFC gave me a shot. And my coaches, Matt Hume, Trevor Jackson, Zach Curtin, Paul Slaffer, Steve Skids, Curtis, Lori from Rain of CrossFit, and Universal.
Now, you give a shout-out to Xbox 360. I got to ask you, what do you play?
I play Gears of War 3.
Is that your favorite game?
As of right now, yeah, because I just love playing horror mode, and the monsters are like, boom, they're like, kill that motherfucker, boom.
Now, have you played yourself in a video game yet? Are you available in a game yet?
No, not yet. I'll probably play the UFC Undisputed 3 just because, I'm in it, and it's going to be an awesome game. But I'm waiting for a day where I can be in, like, Marvel vs. Capcom 4 or something where it's, like, I'm throwing fireballs and all that stuff.
You're my favorite ever, Demetrius. That is awesome. He fights this Saturday night against Dominick Cruz, a UFC Bantamweight Championship, live and free on Versus. Historic night on Saturday. We're happy to be joined by Demetrius Johnson. Demetrius, best of luck this Saturday, and good luck.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Boom! How awesome is that?
I can't wait to play that game where he's in Marvel vs. Capcom throwing fireballs.
I can't either. If he throws a fireball this Saturday... You guys will know where he got it from.
And the monster was like, boom. They're like, kill that motherfucker.
That needs to be, we need to have that as a drop at all times. That needs to be our new breaking news drop. Can you make that happen?
I think I can.
Yes.
So.
So we'll practice. Hey, wait a minute. We got breaking news.
And the monster was like, boom. They're like, kill that motherfucker.
Perfect. That's a win.
I think I can put a little something together using that as our new breaking news.
Who cares about the Red Sox? And we have Demetrius Johnson. So let's talk about Demetrius real quick. We talked a lot in the interview, but so he comes in his fight, 4-fight win streak, 9-1, has looked good, mainly has turned into a decision fighter. 4 of his last 5 have gone the distance, one of those being a defeat. However, he can submit guys. He's shown some chokes in the past. He goes in there against a very tough guy. He is very fast, though, and I think that's the, again, you heard me allude to the 125-pound thing, is because he's so quick at 135 that I think at 125 he'd be an absolute killer. But he's at 135, and he's fighting for the title this Saturday night. I will tell you, I'm going to favor Dominick Cruz simply because he has looked so great and so dominant against such a wide variety of challengers. He's one of those guys, I have certain rules that unless a guy gives you a reason to pick against them, you always pick for them. GSP is like that. Anderson Silva is like that. John Jones is now like that. And I would say that Dominick Cruz, for me, is like that. That's what I have to say. PJ, I think I've just stunned PJ into silence.
I'm just thinking, does Demetrius Johnson wear a yellow suit and a red cape for his entrance?
He should.
Coming out to the Mighty Mouse theme. Well, how great would that be if he just came out to the Here I Come to Save Day Mighty Mouse theme?
That would be great. he's a character, man. That's the thing. He's a fun fighter and a guy that the UFC needs a lot more of. He's a unique dude, and I think he's going to make a great account of himself. I'm going to pick Cruz to win by unanimous decision. I think that he is, I think Johnson is game for this. I think that he's quick enough to not get, tagged and really hurt by Dominick Cruz, but I think he's going to get hit enough times, and I think that he's not going to be able to take him down. But I could be wrong. I am going to because of the role that Cruz has been on, I'm going to pick Cruz to win by decision. But Johnson is going to be a guy you're going to hear about a lot in the UFC in the next few years, especially if they open up that 125-pound division. But otherwise, I think at 135, he's going to have enough of a name and enough of a skill set that he's going to be heard from quite a long time.
Yeah. Demetrius Johnson's fought a lot in the past just 2 years.
He is it's crazy.
4 fights in 2010. This will be his 4th fight of 2011.
Oh, you're right. God, look at
that. So 8 of his 11 fights in the past 2 years.
Oh, no, this will be his 3rd fight in 2011.
Third fight, yes, fight.
So he's on, the 4 fights in 2007, 7 fights in 2 years. He is, we talked about this with Travis Brown last week, and guys that get to, like, this big level in a hurry. And heavyweights have a great opportunity. 135ers have a great opportunity. 145ers, we'll talk more about that next break, talking about the Ultimate Fighter. Last night, all bantamweights, all featherweights. But, he started in his first pro fight was 2007, the summer 2007. Here we are in the fall of 2011. He's fighting for a major title. That's pretty impressive. And he's fought 10 times. That's a pretty good.
It's a quick rise.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive. We got time? Do we have to go to break?
Yeah, we have to go to break.
We do? Oh. All right. We come back. We're going to talk all about the Ultimate Fighter. And we're going to give you one of the greatest quotes that you'll hear all week. This is the MMA Show, New Hampshire's ESPN Radio, WGAM, the game. WGAM MMA Show, final segment of the night. We were just talking about the Red Sox during the break. Sorry, it's a major topic around these Pats. If you're just joining us, you've missed a hell of a show, and you've disappointed me like the Red Sox if you're just tuning in now. We've Talked a lot about the UFC. Talked a lot about Rampage Jackson and John Jones from last weekend. Talked a lot about this upcoming weekend, free TV on Versus with a Bantamweight Championship fight. We talked about the man that will challenge for that belt, Demetrius Johnson. Our second segment, we're going to talk more about the Ultimate Fighter now. However, dear listeners, there's a way that you can still listen to this show and any other shows from our past. PJ, tell them how they do it.
Well, you can go to WGAMthegame.com. You look under shows. You search for the WGAM MMA show. Listen to everything that we've ever done right there for your podcasting pleasure. You can follow us on Twitter at WGAM_MMA. Look us up on Facebook and check us out. Our blog is WGAMMMA.com.
We've had a ton of great guests, everyone from Big John McCarthy to John Anik to Phil Davis to Demetrius Johnson and Carlos Condon.
Boss Rutan. Still one of my favorite interviews.
Go back and listen to every single show. I guarantee it. You will love the show. And tell your friends, especially if they're into MMA. We certainly appreciate it. PJ, before we talk about The Ultimate Fighter, I do want to talk to you about marijuana. Not about your use, not saying you're using it, or my use, not saying I use it. However, there is someone that's using it, or are they?
Apparently.
Let's talk about the man himself,
Dave Pee Wee Herman.
A heavyweight set to fight, UFC 136 here in a couple weeks, the show headlined by Frank Edgar and Gray Maynard. Dave Herman was removed from the card this week, and tell him why.
Well, he failed a drug test due to the aforementioned marijuana drug.
Oh, come on, Pee-wee.
According to Dave Herman, he had come out and said that he was contacted and said that he originally gave the test, I think, I believe, on September 15th, and they lost the urine sample. He had to go back and be retested, and then it came back that he failed the test, and due to marijuana, in his quote, and he, of course, trains in California, his quote, "Everybody out here kind of smokes. Marijuana is legal in California. Maybe it's just being in the same room. I don't know. I see people smoke every day."
Pee-wee.
End quote.
Come on.
Now, I'm going to take you back to, I believe, the early 90s Winter Olympics. Whatever year, the first year, snowboarding was a Winter Olympic sport. And there was a Canadian that had won the gold medal in a snowboarding event, and then he failed a competition drug test due to marijuana. And I believe he was the first person ever to use the, it wasn't me, I didn't smoke, but I was in the same room with people who were smoking afterwards. So that must be how I failed it.
That's always how it happens.
Yeah.
So next week's show, we will be talking not about pot, but about UFC 136. This is a freaking awesome card. Frankie Edgar, Gray Maynard, Jose Aldo, Kenny Florian, Chael Sonnen, Brian Stann, Joe Lozon, Melvin Gillard, Leonard Garcia, Nam Phan, and on Spike TV, Damian Maia, Jorge Santiago, and then Anthony Pettis versus Jeremy Stephens. That's only the top six fights. Wow, I'm excited for that race. We'll talk to one of those guys next week. Not sure who, but we'll surprise you like we always do. PJ, it's time to talk about The Ultimate Fighter, Season 14, Episode 2. You were watching the show, catching up as I walked into the luxurious studios here tonight.
Yeah, unfortunately, I was watching the Red Sox last night, so I had to watch The Ultimate Fighter today.
Depressing.
Wish I would have watched The Ultimate Fighter last night.
So what did you pick up from the show?
Well, the teams were chosen last night, Team Bisping and Team Mayhem, and they had their first fight. The first fight, if I bring up my notes here.
Actually, let me go through real quick. So bantamweights and featherweights.
Yep.
Again, basically how they did this was, they split the two teams up, and they picked all the bantamweights first and then all the featherweights second. So Michael Bisping won a coin flip. By winning the coin flip, he got both the first pick of bantamweights and then the first pick of featherweights. He had the option of picking the first fight instead, and he declined, so he got the first picks. We would go through the names, but honestly, you'll forget them.
There's
so
a lot of them.
Let's just go the fight anyway. But they're two very evenly matched teams, I think.
Yeah, and during the selections, too, or afterwards, Michael Bisping was saying that all the guys he picked, he got, and Mayhem, all the guys that he didn't want, Mayhem selected.
There's one guy every season that always says that.
Right.
Always says that.
Right. So Mayhem, his first fight, his teammate, or one of the guys he'd be training, Brian Caraway, and the guy that he picked off of Bisping's team was Marcus Brimage. And the reason why Mayhem picked this fight was he thought that Caraway's wrestling was a lot better, that Brimage was more of a stand-up guy. And during that fight, that completely showed through. Caraway took him down several times, controlled the fight, got his back at one point early, or you know, fairly early in the first round, got him in a body lock, and then for the rest of the first round, tried to choke him out with a guillotine, couldn't quite lock it in. Second round comes up, and pretty much the same thing.
It was more the same, but Brimage, so Brimage is, so there's really a wrestler versus striker thing, right?
Right.
So Brimage just looked really good on his feet. Again, that first round, like you talked about, was all caraway in the ground, but in that first round, so he had Brimage's back for most of the round, and he couldn't, it's almost like he forgot how to do a rear naked choke.
Yeah.
He just, I'm just like, are you not going to sink this in? He's right there. Just didn't happen. But in the second round,
Brimage was throwing fists from his back, too, that ended up swelling his Caraway's face up.
Yeah, his left eye swelled him up. That, so that's some power. So Brimage comes out in the second. As you mentioned, Caraway was more takedowns, but
Brimage, he's a very good wrestler. Like that's the one of the things I picked up on. Like, his wrestling is very, very good, Caraway's is.
Brimage escapes, actually catches a big knee at one point. Caraway looks hurt. Caraway's down on the mat at one point. Brimage kind of standing. Referee separates him out. Caraway took like a couple extra seconds to stand up.
Yeah, and then even Brimage, while Caraway was on the ground, he's throwing these weak ass leg kicks, just like kind of like tap,
yeah,
tap, and like, what do you throw some? If you're gonna do that, just throw some power behind it, like one or two, and then finally let him up. But he had nothing. And loved Mayhem, Jason Mayhem Miller's comments. Of course, you can hear the coaches, you know, they're mic'd up. You can hear them very well. Kind of making fun of Michael Bisping for giving Brimage grappling advice.
He's having Bisping coaching him on grappling right now. Just out of nowhere. It was awesome. These two are going to be great as coaches this year. Just the back and forth array. So, the end of the fight?
Caraway ends up getting Brimage's back again, and then remembers how to get that rear naked choke in, and then taps Brimage out 2:55 into round number two. He moves on. Mayhem Miller gets to select the next fight next week.
Yeah, let's see. So if you only saw the first episode, Brian Caraway is a guy that the unimpressive fight Dana White didn't like.
Yep.
And no one see like Marcus Brimage looks like a little Bobby Lashley, and I think he's going to be really. I like him. He's got a good look. He's got good power. I think he just has to figure it out when it goes to the ground. So Marcus Brimage might get another shot, because you never know with the way these things go.
Yeah, and the pranks have started also, the house pranks.
Yes.
The first one, Mayhem Miller's team, had these big giant tires that they rolled into the locker room for Bisping's team, and then managed to finagle one of the tires behind the door, drop the tire behind the door, and so when it closed, the tire was right up against the door handle, so they couldn't open the door to their locker room. Bisping, smashes the door in instead of just trying to wedge his way in. How many doors do the UFC have to buy each year? Because there's like 8 doors that get smashed every season by somebody.
I think on my report, I put like, tough one, door zero. Every year you're right.
It's like the Spanish announce table in wrestling.
Oh,
every show there's a door that gets broken in the UFC tough shows. It's incredible.
Yeah, tremendous stuff. So yeah, I would say for the first 3 hours, I've been very entertained with what I've seen on the Ultimate Fighter this season. And again, I think the lighter weight class, it's fresh guys, it's new guys. I actually, you know, early on, a lot of people were like, I don't know about Mayhem Miller and Bisping in this role.
The entertainment factor from these guys is going to help
guys
with the show. Yeah,
they're already, you know, 3 hours in, and they already exceeded everything that they're going to get over each other's nerves. The clips for the rest of the season look phenomenal. By the way, a mariachi band comes in, donkeys, there's smoke. If you have not seen the preview for the rest, it came at the end of the first episode. It just looks wild, and I think it's going to be a wild season, fun fights, and so far all the fights have been really entertaining, so
yeah,
I'm
liking it. The ratings are a little bit up from last week. They debuted at 1.5 million viewers, which was decent. I think, you know, not the greatest, but not by far the worst ratings they could have hoped for. Up about 100,000 viewers for this past week, and I think the more this catches on, it's going to be an interesting season. Like, it so helps, too, when you have the coaches that really hate each other and that are very, very animated. With Junior Dos Santos and Brock Lesnar, when they had their Ultimate Fighter, it was kind of, you know, Junior Dos Santos is a very, very likable guy and doesn't say anything bad about anybody, and Brock was kind of just keeping to himself and wasn't overly, you know, against Junior Dos Santos, didn't say anything really mean-spirited about him, and I think that kind of hurt them a little bit. With these two guys, the personalities alone are fantastic, and that's going to help it out. Plus, as you said, the fights so far have been very good.
Before we go, I do want to bring up this last thing. One of the best fights I'm looking forward to 2012, UFC versus Spike. The reason I say that is, you know, we're talking about the Ultimate Fighter. It's the last season on Spike. There's still a few more events to go. Is that Spike announced this past week they're going to run their own counter programming. They say counter programming. They're running their own Velasquez versus Dos Santos block on November 12th against the Fox show. They're showing Velasquez's win over Brock Lesnar. They're showing some Junior Dos Santos fights from the past. They have done this before with a counter program. Remember Nate Marquardt versus Rick Story, but the fight he got pulled from last time. He was supposed to fight Rick Story,
yep.
I believe, and then he got pulled. They were running a Nate Marquardt block up against the Versus show. And then for November 12th at Fox, Spike is going to run a block of UFC. Spike has the option to run UFC shows all next year. And they have an access to the library as part of their deal. If UFC wants them to stop doing that, they have to buy back the library. They've said they're not going to do it. Dana White is not happy about this and saying it's not really fair part of the deal. So this would be an interesting storyline to watch, counter-programming with Spike. Very, very weird situation there with that. So with all that being said, we want to thank you for joining us on this rainy Thursday night. Hopefully it's sunny where you are. Hope you have a great weekend at a big show. We talked all about, again, Rampage and Jones. We talked to Demetrius Johnson. He fights this Saturday night, UFC on Versus, so watch it along with us and come back next week. We'll talk about that. Talk about a big UFC event coming up the next Saturday and all kinds of stuff. PJ, thanks as always.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. And this has been the WGAM MMA show. And until next week, keep your chin down and your hands up. Good night.
Hey, folks, Matt Perrault, host of The Home Team here on Sports Radio.